Temple Mount because they were perfect. Or at least that's what the chief priests would say. And so Jesus is getting somewhat irritated with the chief priests, scribes, and Pharisees. So you go from that particular passage, and then you work through it again, and you come to the parable, and it's not, well, the story of the fig tree. And for those of you that know, both grapes, and I've got some grapes to send you out, so you might as well start eating the grapes. So, Concord, seedless. So, what would happen is the fig tree was also another symbol for Israel. And Jesus curses the fig tree. And it withers up and dies. And everybody who's around him knows that when anybody who is a preacher, teacher, speaks of a vineyard or a fig tree, they're talking about Israel. And so now people have just cursed this fig tree. And everybody's kind of like, oh my goodness, this isn't a good sign. So then you go from that story into the next one where there's chief priests and the scribes, and they come up to Jesus and says, where'd you get the authority to do this? Now there's an interesting question. And the word for authority in Greek is exousia, and it means you have power. You have a certain kind of authority within you as a person. For some people, it's given authority, and other people, they just have the authority. And Jesus was one of those. Who gave you the authority that you could do this? And Jesus is a master teacher. He's just remarkable. And he says, oh, you've got a question. That's really good. I've got a question for you. When you answer my question, I'll answer your question. And all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of like, uh-oh. Okay, so Jesus asks his question. If you know the question, he says, John the Baptist, did he come from God or is he from men? And so you can almost see, this is Matthew 21, all of the Pharisees and scribes get together and they have a little powwow. Well, if we say that he's from men, everybody believes he was a prophet from God. And so they were stuck. Jesus had them stuck. And they said, well, if we say he's a prophet, then Jesus, they know Jesus is going to say, well, then why didn't you listen to him? Oh, well, that's not going to work out. If we say he's from men, all the people will turn against us. So what do they answer? They said, we don't know. Well, you know, when you look at that passage for a while, you begin to realize they lied because they were afraid. How many of you, like me, have lied so you wouldn't get in trouble?
No.
You lied to get out of problems. She's looking for those grapes wherever they are. So, you know, what you realize is here is Jesus who is being confronted by the scribes and the Pharisees, and now we come to the story that I want to talk with you about. All that to get to this, right? And then he says, but what do you think? Isn't that interesting? What do you think? And so there is, I watch these silly guys from Kentucky who are called the Moron Brothers. And if you just want to laugh, it's these two brothers that play banjo and guitar and sing and go around and talk. And the one brother always has these things called ponderings. You want to hear some ponderings? Well, here they go. Why do we drive on a parkway and we park on a driveway? And the other one says, I've never thought about that. Ponderings. Can you cry underwater? It's really crazy. And you've all heard me. When I grew up, my dad was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, baseball-wise, and he loved Yogi Berra. How many of you have made a lifetime of following some of his quotes? Here's one that I just love. I love this quote. Yogi Berra, in his Italian accent, would say, you know, he's really good. He can hit from both sides of the plate. He's amphibious.
That's funny.
Oh, gosh. I love that. It's deja vu all over again. Yeah. No, but there's all these funny phrases, right? But Jesus is saying, can I get you to the Pharisees? Can I get you to think? So he tells this story. A man had two sons. He came to the first son and said, son, go to work today in the vineyard, hence the grapes. This is, there's three parables in a row. This is the first one. Then last week we did the one with the wicked tenants. And there's another one called the marriage feast. They're all judgment parables. Anyway, this is the first of those three. And he said, I will, sir, but he didn't go. In a Jewish family, that is really insulting to the father. But he said, I will, but he then comes to the second son and says the same thing. And the son says, I will not. And yet afterwards he regretted it and he went. Then Jesus asks these Pharisees and chief priests, which one did the will of the Father? Jesus is really cagey. You really don't want to get an argument with Jesus. We would not win in that argument. And they said, the Pharisees, the latter. So the one that said no, but then went. So before we go any further, I want you to notice that almost everybody who's around Jesus, and Jesus always gave room or grace for all of us that aren't perfect. How many of you qualify, like for me, of being not perfect? That sometimes you'll say you go and then you don't. And there's other times you say you will not.
And you do.
But then you do. And there's this wonderful, that word where the other son, the second son, regretted what he said. And the word is metamelanomi. And it means that he was thinking about it after he said no, and he changed his mind. How many of you have been in a situation like me where you said you won't, or you said no, or whatever, and then you change your mind? And afterwards, there's this, I don't even know if I can pronounce this right. There's an old English word. Listen to the phrase, how it's written. Had a whist. Mm-hmm. That's the word. And it means, had I known better, I would have chosen the other. Had, H-I-I, had I, and you hear it as whis, had a whis, but it means wish. I wish I had known better. But that's an old English word going back 300-400 years. Anyway, there is this sense in which then Jesus has this indictment of them. And let's hear what he has to say. Truly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. Now let's just make a quick sideline to John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the kid of who? Who's he the son of? Elizabeth and?
Zechariah.
And he would have been Mary's relative. Mary's family, who would be Jesus' mother, comes from the lineage of Aaron. So she's a high priestly family. To marry a girl who comes out of that family, those people were gold because their lineage goes straight back to when they were in Egypt. And so they kept track of who were the children of people who were of that tribe. And both Mary and Elizabeth were of that tribe. And so John the Baptist was of that tribe. The thing you may not know about John the Baptist is coming out of the book of Luke. It says that there's never been anybody like John the Baptist. So he is greater than all the prophets before him. So he's the greatest prophet to have ever spoken to Israel. And until I started digging into this this week. I always thought that would have been Isaiah or Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. But Jesus says it's John the Baptist. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, tzedakah, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the harlots did believe him. Notice, they've already gone down their path. And then they start to think about it and they change directions. There's a repentance that's there. And they change directions. And so they're going to go in to the kingdom of heaven before these chief priests and scribes. And they would have been considered in this day of Jesus the lowest of the low. I'll read that again. For John came to you in the way of righteousness. Now he would have been speaking over there by the Dead Sea. And that Qumran community where we get the Dead Sea Scrolls is most likely where he hang out. So that is John the Baptist. Very austere. It's very dry. It rarely rains. And everything is parched. And that's where John the Baptist did his ministry. Anyway. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the harlots did. And you, seeing this, you did not even feel remorse afterwards so as to believe him. Notice Jesus is starting to be right in their face. Right in their face. But now let's jump into the parable. And let's hear some things that can help us in our journey. The first is where the father says to the sons, there's work to be done. And I love what Marisha did. There's work to be done. And the crazy thing is all of us could have stories just like her. Where God says, Asheville needs stuff. Make a phone call. And then get out of the way. And watch all this come. Because there's work to be done. But notice, we are his hands, his feet, were his eyes and his ears, and God wants to use us to do his work. Doesn't matter if you're going to be down there and you're going to rebuild the house or the road. What matters is that you're a part. You're part of the work to be done. The second one is that this is all God's work. And God's work, even here at Bethany, could be you serve on a board, you teach a Sunday school class, you jump in at a prayer meeting, you give an opportunity, you help behind there with some technology if that's your skill sets. It can be anything, but all of this moves us away from being self-centered or just about me to being about us and about what God can do. So the first that I would have for you is there's work to be done. The second is that it's God's work. And the third, and this is where the push comes, the need is now. There are people around the world that have never heard about Christ. Maybe you can't go, but you can take some of your giving and send it to somebody who wants to go instead of us. Go. Send your money. There is places that can give food to people who don't have food. And there are people who will somehow get to be a part of what's going on in Asheville. And right now I'm there because my second son and his family live there. They're about 2 miles from the very center of Asheville itself. Anyway, the story that I had for you when I began this sermon was this guy by the name of, his name as you would recognize is Dwight Lehman Moody. It is October the 8th. He is preaching in Chicago. It had been a very dry summer. It's October the 8th. And here was his text, "What shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ?" And as he's finishing up, he starts to then say to people, now next week come back and you're going to hear about the cross, and I need for you to decide what will you do with the crucified one. And then it says, and then he had his singer, it wasn't Billy Graham's, what was the guy that always sang for Billy Graham? Yeah, his name for Dwight Moody was Ira Sankey. Listen to the song that he chooses to sing. Today the Savior calls for refuge fly. The storm of justice falls and death is nigh. Before he finished singing that song, they started to hear the fire engines. And this is the beginning of the Great Chicago Fire. 300 people would die, and a lot of people that were in that sanctuary died in the flames that night before they were asked, what will you do with Jesus? You see, the need really is great because none of us know when we will be called home. What you may not know is that 17,000 buildings were destroyed in Chicago. In 1871, that's when this happened, over $200 million worth of buildings were destroyed. 100,000 people were displaced. And Dwight Moody, on his deathbed, said, I've preached for a lot of years, and the greatest mistake I ever made was in Chicago on October the 8th, 1871, when I told people that the next week I'll tell them how to come to Christ. And there are people who died and never heard that message. You see, the need for all of us and for the people you know really is now. We have no idea what tomorrow will bring. We're going to do one last song called These Are the Days of Elijah. John the Baptist would have been called the Elijah of his day. It's really a wonderful song, and it's a song that I first heard from Becky Bourne when I got here. Becky, how many years ago would that have been? 7 years? This was the song you asked for when I had been here, maybe a week or two. But I want you to hear this song, and we'll sing it together.